Welcome to the Highbury Squad. You can follow us on Twitter at Highbury Squad. In fact, it's the same on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and eventually iTunes. Join me, Sophie, aka at Soccer Diva, Amanda, aka at GoonaGirl1969, and our very special guest, Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell. It's just like being down the pub with your mates.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Highbury Squad. This is our first pod of the season. So, I know we've already played a game, but that was an away game. Up and coming is Burnley at home. And welcome tonight to my pod sister from LA, good old Soph. Hello, darling.
Hello, good old Soph here, reporting in for duty in another season. Roger that.
Roger that. Over and out. And Super Kev up in rainy Manchester, I'm assuming, because London is rainy too.
He's tipping it down, let me tell you.
Oh, bloody day, I know.
But it's good to be back.
Good to be back. Good to be back. Actually, no one needs me singing on a pod. Absolutely
oh,
not.
Oh, here we go with no. Those dulcet tones.
No. So, season 2019/20 is upon us. And we're going to talk about the Newcastle game in a moment, but we did something very extra special on the weekend, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
And I'm not talking about keeping a clean sheet. I'm talking about our little live event at the Hippodrome in London.
Which was special. Yeah,
it was special. So for anyone that doesn't know, we were invited to the Hippodrome Casino in their bar called Lola's Bar. And it's a sport bar. Well, it's not supposed to be, but it is fantastic. The screens were just to die for. I didn't realise how good they were until I walked in. And we invited, free of charge, no one had to pay anything to come in, contrary to what I read, Gooners, who wanted to come and join Kev for a Q&A and join me and So for a little live pod and watch the match. So...
Can I jump in?
Of course you can.
Because one of the things that we've been working hard on for this season is trying to reach out and be collaborative, whether it's with, potential partners. We've always been open on this podcast. You, Amanda, and I, and Casey is probably one of the friendliest, most accessible ex-players talking about the beautiful game, who shares his insights with so many different Everton, Arsenal and generic fans. And what we've been trying to do is create a platform and an atmosphere where we can all come together and talk about football, share our opinions, be opinionated, but respectful. And when the Hippodrome reached out, it just seemed like the perfect partnership for us. I mean, that place, you guys, I've been there because I've done other events there, but you guys, I think, in terms of your first-hand experience, you executed the Q&A beautifully. Tons of Arsenal fans came and really enjoyed it. We're going to be doing more of it. The Hippodrome loved it. We've shared a video of the event online too. But this is the kind of stuff that we're going to be doing this season. We want to be bringing the game to people in a different format, as well as the traditional podcast format as well. And you guys smashed it on the ground.
Thank you. I was a little bit nervous to begin with the day before, but when we got there, it was great.
Is that because you were doing it in front of the BF? hey, Casey.
No.
Come on now, the truth will set you free.
Hey. This is a nice support system for Amanda, but Amanda done brilliant.
Thank you. I had a great support system with you, Kev, and your lovely friend Karin, who was just fabulous. And yes, my BF was there and he was brilliant support and he was working with you, Soph, which was hilarious.
My liaison. Yeah,
because for people that don't know, Sophie couldn't really hear us, but we could hear her. And it worked really well. So we did a little mini pod for about 10, 15 minutes. And then I went into the audience because everyone wants to ask Kev a question and the questions were great. We were very varied and Kev, you answered them brilliantly. And we had a little bit of banter going backwards and forwards.
We had a laugh, didn't we?
We just did it, as something to do with fans, something to unite, you know, a few of us and to get their opinions and to let them watch a match with you. I mean, to be fair, it was my first match with you and I thought I behaved very well. I didn't swear that much, but,
not that much.
And it was really good, wasn't it?
I've got to say, a big thanks to George and Michael and the guys at the Hippodrome. They were superb on the day and all their staff. They looked after us immaculately.
Oh, didn't they? I was going to say that. Actually, I was going to tweet them and say all their staff, everybody was just on it. Considering we didn't know if we'd have anyone to help us, everyone helped us. And everyone loved it. And George was brilliant. So thank you for introducing us.
But I must say, the actual Gooners who attended were pleasantly surprised of the quality of the place, of the screens, of the way they got looked after. The beer was lovely and cold. It was amazing. It really was. And I'd love to do an evening one, like a Europa League or something on a Thursday. I think that would be really good.
Well, the good news is that the Highbury squad smashed it. Everyone who came loved it. The feedback to the Hippodrome has been amazing. And you're right, Casey and Amanda. I think sometimes our generation in particular, we think of the Hippodrome as a certain way, right? Remember back in the day, it was Stringfellows, Hippodrome.
Nightclub, yeah.
Yeah, and the Hippodrome has been through so many different cycles of life. I mean, it's been around since the 20s, 30s, where they used to do the old circus stuff. It's a listed building. It's beautiful inside. And, yeah, a European night would be a lot of fun there. So we'll keep people posted, but we're definitely going to be doing more stuff with the Hippo. And thanks to everyone who came. They were brilliant. Everyone just had a good time. It was good banter, positivity, everyone enjoying themselves, and really just a great way to kick off the season.
Yeah, it was really, really good fun. It was just like chatting here. It's no different, was it? It was just us being us, and we're the Highbury squad. So moving on, let's chat about the game. Soph, you was up all night. So did you manage to watch the whole game?
It was unbelievable how I actually managed to keep both eyes open during that Newcastle game. I mean, I was dead. You guys were so cute. I loved how Kev was wearing this really slick black, almost tuxedo jacket. I loved it. Had a bit of a satin trim on the collar. You turned up in your little black number, all looking cool. Meanwhile, I was doing the newscaster thing on the broadcast. I was waist up, I was fabulous. Waist down, I was a hot mess.
Well, we didn't know it, but we really appreciate the fact that you are 100 million hours behind us. And I just don't know how you did it. And then to watch the match. But, you know,
it was a great game.
It was a great game. And honestly, go on.
No, I was going to say, just to answer your question, I know a lot of people started complaining about all sorts of things. And it's the first game of the season. It's a soggy Sunday afternoon at Newcastle, a team that is looking to reinvigorate their fan base, coming off all sorts of problems in the summer, new manager. And here we are with the new Arsenal 2.0. We'll get to all of the kind of evolution of the club. But when it come down to the game, I felt like we were very professional. I thought we executed brilliantly. I thought, yes, there were flaws. There were moments of concern. But with it being the first game of the season, and maybe this Arsenal 2 years ago, maybe you would have ended up losing that game 2-1. I thought Xhaka did – he's getting a lot of stick, but I thought he did his job. I've told you guys before about that Bill Belichick New England Patriots syndrome. They've won 6 Super Bowls for a reason with him. It's just players just need to do their job. And I think they did. And then in the second half, 20 minutes, I thought seeing Pepe and Ceballos, even though we didn't see them a lot, Amanda and Casey, man, some of the touches, I cannot wait to see how this evolves during the season, because you could tell in very small moments the quality that they have.
And also, talking about that, there was no Lacazette. We've got players to come back, players to come in the first 11 as well, which is going to be really interesting how he fits everyone in. But Kev, what did you think about our defensive display?
I must admit, I was pleasantly surprised at how controlled Chambers and Socrates were. because what we do know is usually you could drive a bus through the middle of the Arsenal back four. But they were pretty solid on the day. I thought, for me, Chambers coming in there, I thought he was in the shout of man of the match. I thought he handled himself really well. He was quietly confident and assured. And that's the way I want my defenders to be. I don't want them to be loud. I don't want them to be, you know, too out there on a roller coaster. I want them to be consistent. And I thought Chambers was very consistent in the way he defended. And yeah, we had some hairy moments. Of course we did. But I think that partnership with Socrates looked pretty comfortable for Arsenal. And, you know, to get a clean sheet away from home in the first game, especially with it wasn't our full team. Let's be honest. It was kind of a makeshift team. You know, I was really proud of the lads, I must admit.
And KC, just so you know, that's the first game we played away from home in 8 seasons. Last season, only Bournemouth, Fulham, Burnley, and one other team let in more goals away from home than us. So to start off the season with an away win and a clean sheet after our away record has been really poor over the last 2.5 seasons, I thought that was really encouraging, Amanda. And as KC said, without our fourth strength team.
Absolutely. I mean, there were some moments, as you said, that I was a little bit like, oh, here we go. And you're right. 2 years ago, we may have lost. Last year, we may have drawn. Sorry, the year before. 3 years ago and then 2 years ago. But there's just something about this side now that they're quite a young team. Who couldn't be excited about Pepe and, how do you say his name? Salibos? I don't know.
Ceballos.
Oh, Ceballos. I get it all wrong.
Ceballos, yeah.
Danny. Can I just call him Danny? Is that not easier?
Sure, that's easier.
Yeah, it is for me. Danny, who cannot get excited about quality coming on the pitch? Seriously, I was more excited about the bench than I was the first 11. But I'm pleased with Leno in goal. And you know what? We've just got to watch how this evolves. We need to support them. I know I say the most obvious things on a podcast, but let's try not to get on their back so quickly. It would, you know, just to support them a little bit, they're going to make mistakes. It's a new team with a new manager and it's so much transition going on. But you know what? A lot of what's been going on is thanks to, as everyone keeps calling him now, King Rule, Don Rao, whatever his name is, right? It just feels a different vibe at the club. And, you know, it feels a bit more united, which leads me on to something else where the whole We Care Do You movement, which I think has been brilliant, which we were asked to go on and sign, and we did, and we support it. And Kev, you've got some news for us, haven't you, about what you're going to be doing?
Yeah, the one thing, as you said, that the We Care Do You movement has done, it has really brought to light the unity of our fan base or trying to unite it. You know, everybody's trying to come together for whatever reason. Obviously, not everybody has the same reasons for backing it. But I think there's some common ground in everybody wants what's best for Arsenal. And the news I've got is it's been some years in the making, but this has kind of fast-tracked it. And I'm going to be doing a show on AFTV as an ex-professional player. And it's going to be covering mostly Arsenal, stuff, but we're going to delve into some, very interesting things that hot topics as well. So really looking forward to that. It's the first show that's going to be called mine. But I'm really, really looking forward to it. I'm empowered by it, to be honest, because I think as a fan base, I think we need it, because there's a lot of crap thrown about, you know, different people having their opinions. But you tend to find a lot of people when they hear it coming from an ex-pro who's been in the club, been in the dressing room, you know, they might not agree with your opinion, but they will respect it. And I think that kind of respect should come across on the new show.
Amanda, it's kind of like I feel like we've had KC on the show, and you know how in the old school days, not in the old school, but in TV, you'd get a TV show and then there'd be a spin-off. And it's like Casey's doing his spin-off.
That's quite good, actually. I like that. The Kevin Campbell show.
So jokes aside, you take it over. We're so happy for you, Casey. I mean, seriously, you are. Let me say this, and Amanda, I know you'll jump in. And, you know, a lot of the times people talk about, oh, he's a great guy, or, oh, he's so helpful, oh, he's whatever. You have to be one of the most supportive, classiest people in the game I've ever met, Casey. And you are challenging at the same time. I love your bravado. I love how you see things. You support women. Your fight for racism is inspiring. And I'm so grateful that I got to meet you through Amanda. And we always cherished every time we were able to have a football conversation with you on our show last season. But you really are a top shelf guy. Most importantly, a top shelf human. But then you also have a very interesting perspective of the game. And I think it's an important show for people to listen to, because the player perspective sometimes gets lost on Sky Sports and BT because it comes in sound bites. It comes in 30-second moments. And I don't think that's enough. So we wish you the world of luck. And I will be listening for number one, and number two, maybe, you know, you'll have us on as a guest at some point.
Well, listen, the Highbury squad and you ladies have helped, obviously, me hone my craft. Obviously, I have opinions and you have opinions, and we don't always see eye to eye, do we?
No.
But the great thing is, it's always respectful.
Yeah.
And we make sure each other gets their point across. So moving forward, it will be an absolute pleasure to have you on the show at some stage. And I'll be back on the Highbury squad. I'll still be on the Highbury squad whenever I can and possible.
It's so interesting. I don't really agree with anything Sophie said. You're all right. You're all right. I can't give him that big head. No, I love him. He knows I love him. We just.
You mean he already has a big head?
Yes, he's like, you know what? It's like we grew with you, Kev, and now we wish you goodbye and have fun.
Oh, thanks a lot.
No, I don't mean goodbye. I mean, like, good luck. And you're still one of us, and you're still part of the Highbury squad. No, you're right, Kevin. You're right, Kevin. You do not need luck. You just need us championing you.
I need you girls. That's right. You ladies.
No, you've been brilliant for us. Absolutely. And honestly, I've met Kevin quite a few times and he's no different. He's just brilliant and it's fun and it's great. And watching him, you know, talk to the fans, because obviously I was sitting with them when I was asking the question, and he just gives so much. And that's fantastic, Kevin. You deserve this show. And I'm really proud of you, and I can't wait to watch it. Is it going to be filmed or is it just audio?
No, it's going to be filmed.
Brilliant.
It's going to be in the studio. And it's going to be a nice welcome difference to what the normal guys do. It's going to be every fortnight. So we're going to have plenty to cover.
That's good. That's right. As long as we get a mention, we're happy. So,
of course,
and
of course, my
mate Robbie, I'm going to come down and see it all being filmed one day. Anyway, I love all that.
Of course, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Robbie sent you a personal birthday message, which I think the world kind of knew that it was your 50th birthday, right, Casey?
The world
big
knew.
Time.
Yeah, but no, just to go back to the We Care, Don't You? That happened from when I was here and the team was here in the United States, and I know you're going to get to this, Amanda, but key informers like Gunnerblog, Arsblog, Stillman, Darren, you are my Arsenal. I'm forgetting a whole bunch of people that were at the core of the movement. And to be asked to be part of that from the inception, the grandfathers or godmothers, if you like, we didn't even hesitate to be part of that. And it's so much more than, you know, kind of like I was talking to Mike from You Are My Arsenal, and we were going back and forth about, yes, transfers are important, and their point is it's not just about that. It's about the club, the infrastructure of the club, how we operate as a business, what we do, what we say, how we treat fans. And, you know, I agree with KC. I think that part of the summer, and we talked about it on Sunday at the Hippodrome, had to do with We Care, Don't You? When Josh Kroenke's response was, I would tell fans to be excited. He knew what was happening. When I spoke to Vinay, when you spoke to Raul, Amanda, and you should kind of get into that a little bit. I think it's this kind of caring that's come together that we haven't seen for a long time from the Arsenal community. And it's really encouraging.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting because you chatted to one. I mean, I didn't have long. I had, what, a minute and a half, 2 minutes, not even that with Raul after that meeting. And I've explained that and I've explained it on Twitter, but some people seem to think that I think I had a say in it. I would love to think I had a say in it. And I do know that transfers take at least 4, 5, 6 months anyway to arrange. So yes, he did. He completely knew. And that's probably why he got a little bit frustrated at the meeting. But what can you do? The transfers weren't sealed and done by then. And I'm just excited. I love the fact that I met him and I had that minute, 2 minutes with him. He was a really nice guy. He totally got everyone's fans' frustrations. And he said he got it and they're dealing with it. So, and they did. So now it's time to put it out on the pitch. And that's what we're going to do. And that leads us nicely on to our first home match of the season, which we've got Burnley, 12:30 on Saturday. Never like a 12:30 kickoff. Kev, what was it like? Did you play 12:30 kickoffs or not?
Yeah, we played 12:30 kickoffs. You know, when we usually played the 12:30 kickoff back then was Boxing Day.
Yeah.
Or New Year's Day.
It wasn't regular through the season though, was it? I don't remember going to Highbury at 12:30.
No, it wasn't regular.
Did you?
No.
I mean, for fans, I'm not saying the ground will be quiet because it's the first home match, but normally it's a little bit dead, the atmosphere, because it's early.
Yeah, what you tend to find is fans are still kind of waking up.
Yes.
You know, because it's people are used to the afternoon 3 o'clock or whatever. So coming early those few hours and kicking off at 12:30, it takes a while for the crowd to get going. You tend to find second half the crowd get going, but hey, the bottom line is we've got some really exciting players at the club right now. And if the more we can get them on the pitch, I'm sure the more the fans will respond because I think that's what we need.
Soph? Hello?
Yes. Oh,
it's like that 5 second delay thing again.
Delay.
Except we've got no excuse on there.
That live Hippodrome moment, yes.
So
how may I help you?
You know I'm lost now, don't you? This is
We're doing two things. Okay, here's what
just
happened
about
right
to
now.
Ask Let you a question everyone. And you went silent.
Let me tell everyone, I just sent a WhatsApp and it confused Amanda because I just so happened to send the WhatsApp to Amanda instead of the Highbury squad WhatsApp room. So she got confused. Hence the delay in the broadcast. Everything.
Could you just stick to the bloody Highbury squad? Because I was looking for it on the Highbury squad thinking I was going mental. Everyone knows I cannot do two things at once. I can't.
I was trying to be careful because I also shared some information on the Highbury squad the other day where KC was like, okay, chicks.
I'm scarred for life.
Do you know what was funny? Kev, I'm going to tell the story. Kev was at an event and me and Sophie were chatting like for about 5 hours on and off, weren't we? Right.
Two chicks.
He must have, and I kept going, Kevin, where is he? He must have disappeared somewhere. He must be out. And then you start talking about your time of the month. Kevin comes in to that message and all I saw was, I just don't want to read this.
TMI, like one post after the other, TMI.
We hadn't heard from Kevin the whole night, the whole day.
And then I was right, I'm scared to contact you.
Sorry, right, let's try and get back to being professional. I promise, as the season goes on, listeners, we will be more professional, but we're very excited because of our live event and the fact that we had a clean sheet. And honestly, I cannot keep going on about how fantastic those screens were. And people were jealous because I put pictures up. They're like, where's those screens? And I was like,
yeah.
And I just took it all for granted sitting there. It was lovely, wasn't it? And it was
amazing.
It was good fun to have the banter in the room with the Arsenal fans. And thank you to everyone that came and asked questions, and everyone really got into it. And it was such good fun. And I loved the fact that, you know, they didn't have to pay to come in. They just came in, had a drink. We all watched the match. We were all singing. It was really good fun, wasn't it?
Well, it was 1-0 to the Arsenal.
1-0 to the Arsenal.
Brilliant. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Okay. You two don't give up your day jobs. All right.
Just it.
Oh, wait. Come on.
So we're moving on. Right. Let's move on to just a few things. We're going to talk about Burnley in a second. Obviously, we'll do our little prediction. But some not so nice things. Okay. So we've got our squad, but unfortunately, Kolasinac and Ozil are not in it at the moment for reasons that I'm so angry about. I just cannot believe two football players in London are not safe to travel to a ground to play football. What has this world come to? I'm just despair at what's going on at the moment. And just, of course, they don't listen, but I just want them back. I just want them to be safe. Safety has to come first. Arsenal put them first. So did the players. They put their families first, which is totally and utterly correct. People were slagging them off for that, and I just can't even be dealing with people like that.
Ridiculous.
And I'm just gutted for them and gutted for us, because I think Ozil playing with that front three would be just awesome.
I honestly think, because sometimes you look at the situation and because we don't know enough, obviously we care for the players and we care for their families and we just want them to do what they do best, is play football. But obviously the situation must be really delicate where, you know, for their own safety, they're not allowed to come back to play, or, you know, they choose not to come back and play for now. You know, so I'm sure the police will handle it and it will get sorted out eventually. But, you know, this can't happen again. It's terrible for the sport of football. So, I sincerely hope everything gets sorted out and the guys can get back to doing what they do best. You know, what they're paid for, which is to play football. I think that's most important.
I agree, Casey. And I think the unfortunate thing about this is it goes beyond football. This isn't in the control of Ozil or Kolasinac or their families or Arsenal Football Club. But I will say one thing. Our club's been criticised a lot over the last few years for various things, but the way they've handled this situation and understanding the situation, protecting the players, you know, when you're talking about your family being targeted, you're talking about gangs being involved. And this is where, and in some ways we're a part of the media, but at the same time, the mainstream media need to have a little bit more accountability and responsibility. What were they thinking going to Ozil's house the day after the initial attack, recording him and putting that on national television? You know, you just have to be a bit more cognizant of what, you know, public people have to deal with. And as much as it's a news story for you, it's a life issue for them.
100%.
And I think that was really just something that the likes of Sky, I think it was Sky who were out there.
You can
help me verify, Amanda. But, you know, same thing with Ozil being criticized for like shutting the door on the car. Come on. You have a machete, a knife in front of you. Your wife is in the car. Do not criticize people for how they react in life threatening moments. So, let's hope this can be resolved quickly, that they can be back in the squad as soon as possible. They both bring value. They've both been criticized. But at the same time, I think we've seen a really good Ozil in pre-season. And as you say, Amanda, with this kind of talent around him, which is equal potentially to what he had at Real Madrid, sky's the limit for Ozil this season if he's engaged and he can play with an energy that we know that he can bring to the table.
I totally and utterly agree. And I can't really add anything else to what you've both said and how I feel. I just pray they're all okay and they come through this, that issue all dies down, and then they can come and play football, for which what they are here for. Someone else that is going through a little bit of rough bit in a different, totally different way is Al Mustafi. How long he's going to be our player for, I don't know, but he is still our player. And I said this on Sunday, didn't I, Kev? And I say it again. We have to support him. Whether you think he's any good or not, he may be playing on Saturday. I don't know if he's ever, you know, I don't know if he's going to be picked again, if he's leaving. I don't know. As of this moment, he's still our player. And if he's picked, we have to support him. People just don't understand that to get on a player's back is going to ruin them. But to support them and lift them, he may actually start to gain some confidence back.
I think that's a really good point, Amanda. You know, as a fan base, what the fans do, if another team's fans were getting on the back of one of our players, we would support them. But when it's your own fans getting on your back, that can be so demoralizing
and detrimental
as a footballer.
Yeah.
You know, it can be so demoralizing. And I know there's players who have had it in the past. I've had it in the past, et cetera, et cetera. But in this modern day football right now, mistakes are going to be made. Of course, mistakes are made. But me personally, I think Mustafi deserves a bit of support. I think he does.
Yes, what's gone
in the past is gone. That's gone now. This is a new season. You know, give him as much support as we can. If he's going to leave, he's going to leave. But what we need to do is give our players as much confidence as they can, because that's what's going to take us even further going forward.
Okay. So I completely concur with both of you that if you are wearing the Arsenal shirt and you're on the pitch, that you deserve the support of the fans. But a little of this softness that's been happening right now, by the way, that was Mustafi pinging me to say be nice when you say something about me, is a little duplicitous in my opinion. And I'm not saying everyone's being a hypocrite here, because I think the main point is if he's wearing the shirt, you support him. You don't boo a player. I agree with this.
Ever.
But we live in a democracy and fans they pay the money and they can do as they wish without being violent, vile, or disgusting, right? So to wrap this up in 30 seconds, if I can, when I saw Arsenal play here in the United States, the penny dropped with me for Mustafi. Okay. And here's why. And you can say I'm wrong or right, but I watched them in training a few times, as did other Guna podcasts out here, Guna Girls, the Mike and those guys and stuff like that. And when I saw each player, I watched. Jenkinson's not with us anymore, but he handled himself so well. Chambers, I can see why Emery's elevated him. And talk about coaching and how he played with Socrates against Newcastle. Willock, Reece Nelson, some of these younger players, the way they handled themselves. At the end of the game, when we were standing in the mix zone, in the media zone, and players were coming out, even Xhaka, who gets such a hard time, held. I can see why Emery's considering him as captain. I know that he's made mistakes. I know that he's had bad games. But I don't think Xhaka's mistakes are as glaring and as sensationalistic as some Arsenal fans make it out to be. When Mustafi came out of the dressing room into the mix zone, I actually thought to myself, wow, he looks like a punk. And this is just my opinion. I'm not saying he is. I'm saying this is how he came across. He was wearing sunglasses. He was wearing these cordless headphones. And he was coming out and dancing and prancing around like a 12-year-old. And I thought to myself, oh, you know what? I've never thought he was a particularly smart footballer. I felt like he's benefited from being around smart footballers. And when I saw him, I'm like, that's not the demeanor or the characteristics or the personality of someone who I think should be at the heart of the Arsenal defense. You guys know exactly what I mean. When someone just comes at you or someone is there in front of you and you see them and you make, you have an impression. And I just don't think he's a smart footballer. I don't think that he is, talented enough from a positional point of view. I think he benefited from being around Mertesacker for a couple of seasons. And I think he's the type of player that needs to have that type of brain around him. I'm not sure Sócrates is even that brain for him to be around. And I think it would be in the best interest of the club if he leaves. I really do. And I don't want to see this poison the team going forward. He's got to go before the transfer window.
In Europe closes, yeah. Well, do you reckon he's... So what you're basically saying is he's not... he lacks humility.
You know, he lacks humility. And KC, you know what I'm saying. You
yeah,
have been
saying,
a pro.
Yeah.
You know those players that yeah. are all about business.
Yeah.
And then there's those players that are a little bit like, oh, here we go. Who's this character? He just came across as a caricature of himself. And there was just something uneasy about what I felt about him when I saw it. And again, this is just my opinion, and this is what I think from what I saw. You know, very different again to how someone like Jenkinson handled himself, who knew he was probably not even going to get to play for the club this season. And I just think he's got to go. I think it's done. I don't think he should ever play for Arsenal again. I think that it's the type of toxic vibe that we're getting rid of, and going into this season, we don't need it. They need to sell him on to a European club as soon as possible.
Well, I think the way Callum Chambers performed on at the weekend, and I know it's only one game, and he's played some preseason games and he's looked half decent, but I was really impressed with the way Callum Chambers acquitted himself at the weekend. So, you know, I think it's time, I think. Unai Emery's had the chat with Mustafi, and I think Mustafi will be surplus to requirements right now because he wasn't even in the squad, was he?
And guys, think about what Callum Chambers has been through. He's been told he's not good enough. He's been sent on loan how many times? And, you know, he played for a relegated team last year. Yes, he was their best player, but does he want to be the best player in a relegated team? No. He put his head down. He's come back with that humbleness. And yes, you're right. It's only one game, but talk about step up, under the pressure when every single Arsenal fan is scrutinizing only one thing, our defense, nothing more, nothing less. And I think he did a great job and I'm rooting for him. I really am. And I've been very critical of him. Hands up. I've called for his head. I've called for him to be sold. But if he can prove us all wrong, that would be a wonderful thing.
Don't we just love it when players prove us wrong?
Yeah, I'm sure. And you've done it in your career, right? When you've been written off or you've
100%.
Been told. Yeah. It takes a lot to, and it takes a lot to dig that deep, doesn't it, KC?
Of course. You know, look, when you're being questioned by your own fan base, you know, that is when that tough skin, outer shell, you have to dig deep into your heart and say, I'm going to show this lot because you're just not going to capitulate and die. But that's what the fans want. That is what the fans want. It's an honour to play for Arsenal Football Club. And those places ain't given out easy. So going to Fulham maybe was the best thing that ever happened to Callum Chambers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
You know, yeah. So he can feel some pain. And mm-hmm. then when he comes back to Arsenal, he realises, you know what? I've got it so good here. I'm going to get my head down and I'm going to graft and I'm going to prove myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
yeah.
he's done that on Sunday for sure.
I think he was the best player on the pitch. And I actually think in the end he made Sócrates look good as well. It was really quite the performance. It really was. And that clip that's gone viral yesterday, Amanda, with how Unai reacted to, I think it was Joe Willock's
yeah.
after losing
his
the
recovery
ball.
Tackle. Yeah.
This is the new Arsenal. That is what I think we're going to see more of this season with his own players and with him having that time. I don't know if you guys agree, but that was so indicative of what the expectations are of this team this season. It was brilliant. I loved it.
Well, it was great to see the young lads performing. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. They, you know, for Willock and Reece Nelson to start the season is huge. That shows a level of trust from the manager.
It's massive, isn't it?
And to be able to perform like they did against seasoned professionals. And for me, you know, the young standout player has been Joe Willock for me. I think he's been awesome.
Yeah.
Absolutely awesome.
What a talent.
Was good, but I thought Joe Willock was excellent.
So it's quite exciting, actually, isn't it, with what we have got. I know it's maybe not everyone's Mustafi's cup of tea, but we do have to support him, and that's what we're trying to say. I know what Sophie's views are on it. Hopefully whatever's going to happen is going to be sorted before the season actually gets really underway. For him and for us, I think,
Let me ask you guys this question. If this team that was fielded against Newcastle played Chelsea in the Europa League final, do you think we would have won that game?
Oh, you can't say. I don't know.
No, it's a hypothetical question. It's just a hypothetical question.
So. No.
Why, Casey? Because I digress, Amanda, but why?
I just think that Chelsea would have been too experienced for us, especially with Hazard. They would have been too experienced for us.
Okay.
Let's not talk about that. And actually, while we're recording, it's going to be starting the Super Cup with Liverpool and Chelsea in Turkey. They've sent them out to Turkey a few days before the second game of the season. All a bit bizarre, if you ask me, but hey-ho. So let's talk about Burnley. Let's get a few predictions on the table. Burnley at home, 12:30, live on TV. What can go wrong?
Plenty.
She says, hoping. I can't wait to go back to the Emirates. I'm really excited, and I've not said that. I don't even know how many seasons I've not said that for. 4 or 5 seasons, perhaps? I'm actually really buzzing and excited to get back there, if I'm honest. And my other half is coming with me as well. So that would be good fun.
Oh, the hubs.
The BF.
Should we call him the better half?
Never. No. Let's not give him that title. No,
just teasing. She knows it.
Excuse me. So, Kev, Burnley, what's your prediction?
I think Arsenal are going to get the job done. I think Arsenal are going to win the game. But Burnley are going to make life very, very difficult for Arsenal, because what they're going to do, they're going to game plan for Arsenal, and they're going to test our two centre-backs big time. You know what you're going to get? You're going to get a lot of long balls, and you're going to get a fight for second balls. So Arsenal are going to have to be really up for this game. But I think we will prevail in the end. And I think there's going to be some more cameo appearances from Pepe. He's going to come on, probably get a bit more minutes, 25, 30 minutes under his belt at the Emirates, because I think the Arsenal fans deserve that. But I just think the way Aubameyang's playing at the moment, he's going to be unstoppable at the Emirates. So I see Arsenal winning the game 3-1, something like that.
I think this is going to be one of those games where, Amanda, you're standing up, sitting down, cheering goal after goal. As much as Ashley Barnes is a menace, Burnley have not beaten us in a league game, I think, since they beat us in the League Cup in 2008, and they beat us in the old Division One in 1974. Since 2010, we've not lost one league game or an FA Cup game to Burnley. So all the stats and history show that this is a game for us to win. Obviously, on paper, maybe, as I said earlier in the show, a year or 2 years ago would have been different. But I fancy us to win this like 5-1. I think Burnley are going to be in trouble this season. I think we saw a little bit of that last season. And as tricky as they can be and as physical as they can be, I fancy us to get an emphatic result here. And as Casey said, Aubameyang could even get a hat trick. It's one of those.
So what's your prediction?
5-1.
Okay. Well, I'm not going for anything similar to that. I'm going for Arsenal to win 2-0. I want another clean sheet, and I think we can do it.
I like that. Love that.
Yeah.
Love that.
I'm feeling very positive.
We like clean sheets.
And do you know what? We've missed out. I mean, obviously, we haven't even talked about all the transfers because we've done that. But the hair, David Luiz. I mean, him and... what's his name? Oh my
Guendouzi.
God. My mind went blank there. Matteo Guendouzi. It's going to be like a hair fest. If they like go up for like a corner together, we're not going to know, are we? Who's edited it in?
Of course we're going to know.
No, we're not. I'm telling you, from where I sit, if it's down the clock end, I'm not going to know who's done it. That hair is
your mince pies must be going wonky.
I've got my glasses. I've got my football glasses.
You've got your goggles.
I'm excited. I think David Luiz could be very interesting for us. I think, as I said on Sunday, didn't we, Kev, the experience alone is going to help.
Oh, huge. It's going to be huge.
How much did Chelsea miss him in the game? Just look at that. Look at that. I'm not saying that Man United are a great side, because it's very worrying for Chelsea that they were dominated like that by a Manchester United side that are trying to rediscover themselves.
Yeah.
But my goodness, did they miss David Luiz at the back? And here's the scoop with David Luiz. He can have a Mustafi moment, not as many, but what he does is, and I think you'll back this up, Casey, his distribution of the ball, and people will go back to the semi-final of the World Cup and all that jazz. That was a collective debacle from Brazil. That just wasn't about the defense. His distribution of the ball is what we're going to benefit from as the season goes on, especially on the counter-attack. And I think that someone like him coming into the team with that experience, that stability, and something we've been crying out for is a player who knows how to play in this league for a long freaking season. He is a really good buy, and he's got a point to prove as well. He's been unhappy at Chelsea. He was told he's not going to start, and now he's much galvanized after seeing the debacle that was at Old Trafford at the weekend. No doubt.
Yeah.
I agree.
I'm pleased he's with us. I'm quite shocked, but quite pleased. Looking forward to seeing them all.
I think David Luiz, I know there's been a lot of, you know, typical Arsenal fan base. Some are happy and some are not. But we're talking about he was the main man for Chelsea last season at the back. He was a starter for Chelsea, qualified for the Champions League through the league, and then won the Europa League against us. So somebody like that in our back four can only help us progress.
I agree.
The football club.
Yep.
So I'm really pleased he's come, to be honest.
I see it like that, Kev. I do. I really, really do. And I'm excited to see him. And also, I'm looking forward to seeing the kids as well. So it's great. It's a great mix, you know. I'm excited. So we've done our predictions.
Big season for Emery.
Yeah.
Really. He's got the weapons now. He's got major weapons. And however you look at it, Amanda, we've improved the squad. Do we still have deficiencies? Yes. Does it still take time? Absolutely. But when you look at his challenge, is still going to be defense, but midfield on, you know, we can, there's this open spot for top four. Chelsea are not the same team they were last season. This is a great opportunity for us to get back in there.
So we've and done. No,
go on, mate.
We've done our predictions for this year. We all think we're coming third, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is a very positive thing. And I think we still need to give Emery time. You know, well, it took Wenger years. Sorry, not Wenger years, but you know what I'm saying? For us to get to the Invincibles, he's got to be given time. That's what I think.
Amanda, he wins five more games away. If we just win five more games last season than we did away, we would have finished, 15 points above Spurs.
Yeah.
Even if we draw half of those and win half of those, it's the away form that we've got to improve. And if he doesn't improve that by November, December, the pressure's going to be on.
Well, I would like the pressure not to be on him. That's what I would like. And I think that we're going to do quite well. Famous last words, yeah? So I've got a little question that I'm going to throw out to our listeners that I'd like everyone to tweet at the Highbury squad. So the question is this. This season, who do you think is going to score more goals? Is it going to be Aubameyang or is it going to be Lacazette? So it's just an interesting little thing that I've been discussing with some Arsenal friends. We're really torn on this as well. So whose season's it going to be, Aubameyang or Lacazette? Just tweet us and let us know what you think. What do you guys think?
Can I add to that?
Yeah, go on. You go first, Kev, then Soph.
No, let me add to that. I think Aubameyang's going to be the top scorer.
Okay.
But for me, who's going to get more goals out of Lacazette and Pepe?
There you go.
Okay.
That's the one I think.
All right, so let's change it then. Let's change it to Lacazette and Pepe.
Yes.
I'll put it out there on the Highbury squad.
Perfect.
But just out of interest. So go on then, Kev. Who do you think?
I think Lacazette's going to get more goals than Pepe because Pepe's going to be adjusted to the Premier League. But I think what Pepe's going to be able to do, Pepe's going to be able to open up a lot of space with his quality. And the Aubameyang and Lacazette are going to benefit from him. He's the way he can dribble and beat people. So
some of his touches in that game against Newcastle, he was only on for a short time. I was like, wow.
Delicious.
Oh my gosh. Just, you know, when a player comes on, even though Chelsea were losing against United, when Pulisic came on, there were certain touches he had that you could tell were so different to other players on his own team. And, you know, I watched Pepe a little bit in Liga last season, not as much as most people, but what a talent. And you could tell even Ceballos, it's the beat they take. It's the moment of when they pass. And sometimes when they're not even touching the ball, their body, the way they move, we haven't had that in a long, long time at Arsenal. And I'm really super excited about what they can bring to the table with their movement, their thinking, their football minds, their brains. And it's going to elevate Aubameyang, Lacazette, Ozil even more. They're just so much smarter than the other footballers that we have. And that's really, really exciting, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
I think this season's going to be exciting. I think a lot of the teams, it's going to be exciting. Top five, top six, roughly the same sort of teams, but in what order? And well, I'd like to wish Iwobi luck at Everton, wouldn't you, Kev?
Yeah, 100%. I was just going to say that, actually.
How funny. Great minds, eh?
And Jenkinson.
Good kids, really good guys.
Do you know what?
They left lovely messages.
Let me just say this, right? How you leave a club classy, eh? Jenkinson, Iwobi made me cry a little bit. Ramsey, and then you got Koscielny doing that. It's not even worth mentioning, to be honest. But
even Theo and the Ox, the way they left, they gave their respect to the club, absolutely, and what the club did for them. And I'm not being funny. Eddie scoring for Leeds.
I was going to mention that, actually, yeah.
Right, Amanda. And then the way we train our players to talk to the media, something that goes unnoticed sometimes, something that Arsenal Football Club takes really seriously is how our players interact and talk to the media. And to see and hear Eddie's interview post-game and what he said and how he said it, it's a real testament to how we groom players from, you know, from whether they've bought into the club, whether they come from the academy. It's so important. And, you know, those young players, whether they're here or they've gone out on loan, have done a brilliant job in terms of how they've communicated about the club. And then you have the captain who acted like a total and utter asshole.
Sophie,
Amanda, it's not called the Arsenal for nothing.
That's right. Have some respect.
It's got class. The club's got class. And Koscielny didn't act it in a classy way whatsoever.
Do you know what, Kev?
And as captain, you know, having been in the dressing room and I know what the captain's armband means.
Mm.
But actually, when you're in the dressing room and your guy wears that captain's armband, it means a lot more than just being captain. So the way he acted was, in my eyes, it was despicable, and I can't ever forgive him for that. Ever. I'm telling you, it's not right.
It's not. And I don't even want to talk about him anymore. It's not worth it. I'm just, let's just big up the ones that left. I mean, the one that made me cry was Jenkinson. Oh, my life. I was at work and I was reading it in my lunch and I thought, oh, my God. Anyone would write that if they were a fan like he was. He's like us. You know what I'm saying? He's like an Arsenal fan playing for Arsenal. Like yeah. You in a way, Kev. You know, like when you're grown up, he's got a stone for his grandfather at the Emirates. He's, you know, in the, on the floor.
Yeah.
Outside the shop. And he's just lived his dream, didn't he? Playing for the club that he loved.
Fantastic.
And we
fantastic.
Wish him well. He's gone to Forest, hasn't he?
Yeah, another one of my old clubs. I'm telling you, I'm getting some work.
Oh, you are. The Toffees and the people at Forest. Forest, yeah, lovely. Yes, great. Well, do you know what?
Another great club. Another great club.
We wish them well. And actually, I wanted to have a little, like, Nicotia watch, Eddie watch, because I think he is one to watch. And I'm so pleased he scored. I didn't see his interview. And I'm so pleased he did a good one as well. So we wish all our players on loan well. And I'm excited. I really am. Anyway, guys, unless anyone's got any other business, we are done.
Do I have any other business? No, just waiting for my wedding invite, number one. Number two. No, I'm really excited about the season. When was the last time, guys? Seriously, when do you remember being this excited about a season? When was the last time?
I don't know. I said that. I don't know.
It was a long time ago.
I'm actually really excited. It's like for us, it's Wednesday night. Yeah. So, well, for you, it's Wednesday morning or whatever. But I'm like, I can't wait for tomorrow. Because when Thursday hits, I'm going Saturday. I'm already like thinking what I'm going to do before, what I'm going to do after. I'm looking forward to the match. I'm going to meet a couple of people from Twitter at half time that want to come say hello. I love that. I love meeting all the people that I talk to. And I'm just excited about it. And let's hope. I'm not let down. Let's just hope.
And we do have, like, it's going to be a really fun season. We're going to be doing a lot more video stuff. We're going to be doing a lot more post-game live stuff on YouTube for away games if we're not at the Hippodrome. Our boy KC is going and doing his own show too, so you got to look out for that. We're going to be collaborating with folks. We're really trying to bring the Arsenal community together, talk football in a positive but yet honest and authentic way, as we always have done. So lots of exciting things to come from this season, some cool guests, and of course us. What more could you want?
Exactly that. And also, I'd like, you know, on behalf of Sophie as well with Kev, that we'd like to thank everyone that tweets us as well. We yes. try to respond to everything. It is a little bit hard, so if we haven't responded, just give us a little nudge and we will. And thank you for retweeting our pods. We're not a big pod. And you know what? We just do it because we love it. And me and Soph love having Kevin on because he's like our pod brother. We're like a little family, aren't we?
Exactly.
And we really appreciate everything on YouTube. We're just trying to grow and hopefully bring you content that you like. Did you like that word, Soph? Was you impressed?
My good. Listen, your lexicon on this show has blown my mind.
My lexi what?
Your lexicon.
What the fuck are you talking about? I don't even know what that even means. I think you make these words up.
I think it's that 2-week cruise you took. The sea air got to your brain, kind of, you know, opened up that vocabulary.
Anyway, on that note, because I know where you're going, stop all this.
No, but wait. KC, can we give away one of your dicky bows on the show this season?
No, it's not dicky bow, but I'll tell you what we've got to do.
What?
We're going to have a draw.
Yeah.
To give away that shirt.
Yes.
We're going to do the draw to give away the shirt, and we'll put it on Twitter, and we'll make sure, because we've got the email address of all the guys who attended.
Perfect.
We'll get them the signed shirt, and if they could take a picture with the signed shirt and put it on, we'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, everywhere. And we're going to be on YouTube, aren't we now, Soph?
Yeah, I mean, we've neglected. I mean, let's be honest. You're talking to two Generation X's here, three, who in their professional lives realize the value of YouTube. But we didn't do any video content last year. But we are going to be doing this year a lot more of that. And it's going to be fun. Post-game stuff. You can jump in and we'll welcome people on, fans as well. We can still have our fans of the week on at least once a month and stuff like that. Twice if we can. So. Bingo, Amanda. Well remembered. Yes. Yes.
Also, if you would like to be our fan of the week, just tweet us at the Highbury Squad and tell us why you should be on this show. There we go. Well, that'd be fun. I love having Arsenal fans on. And you know what I love? I love our international Arsenal fans as well. And that doesn't mean people just outside London. That means globally. Globally. Right. On that note.
By the way, are we going to ask our fan base a question about that thing that's in now in the Premier League with the free
rhymes with jar?
No, yes. Let's not go far. No,
Amanda, you were bring it up for two seconds.
I thought about it and I've skipped past it. I just can't talk about it. I think, look,
should we get the ref?
Let's
on?
Put it out to the fan base.
Sorry. Yeah, get the ref on. Next show.
The ref doesn't like VAR, so end of story. He won't even debate it. He doesn't like it as a fan. As a ref, it might be different, but he doesn't like it. And yes, the ref will be on. Absolutely. We'll have him back. But no, we're not talking about VAR. I just can't.
Good point, so, because
the point is, there's a point of me that likes it for certain things and a point of me that can't stand it. I don't even know what's going to happen on Saturday. I'm going to cheer a goal and I'm going to have to look at the ref to see
if it's allowed.
Yeah, it's going to ruin it for me. Is that, and
well,
you know.
At least the Emirates has a screen, unlike Old Trafford and Anfield.
Your problem is with some of our screens, wherever you sit, the little bit's cut off anyway. So, and everyone's going to be standing up looking at screens. It just takes it away from me. Anyway, should we do VAR next when the ref's on? Let's do VAR when the ref's on.
Let's get the ref on. Let's get that little bugger on. Probably get a yellow card right off the bat, KC. But anyway, yeah, right. Let's bring him on.
Okay.
Bugger.
So I'm going to end the pod now because I want to say a massive thank you to Sophie, who literally for this Hippodrome project and the event worked 24/7 and I did absolutely nothing but just turn up. She guided me, supported me, bossed me around, railroaded me, everything you can imagine, but literally held my hand all the way from LA, and so did Tony, and I love you both. And Kev, you were the utmost, honestly, you were the live support for me where she was over there. You were brilliant to me, and you made me feel so at ease, considering this is your sort of profession now. It's not mine. I don't feel good on stage. It's not really my thing, but I really enjoyed it. So thank you to you both, because if it wasn't for both of you, it wouldn't have worked. So thank you both.
Well done to you, Amanda. Tell you what, if it's not your profession, geez, you were excellent at it.
Oh,
honestly, yeah. You were.
And also, if only Arsenal could be as effective as us in a 2-1-1 formation.
2-1-1, yeah, true. 2-1-1. We could be their defence.
I didn't even do the math right there, but you guys know.
Yeah, who's the other one?
Right? Thanks, KC. Yeah.
Right, that's it. We have to go. It's been a long time since we podded, and we're back, just like the Arsenal. And thank you, Soph. Thank you, Kevin. As always, always Arsenal.